Welcome to the Future of Pharma with ISP Boston, where I talk to the thought leaders of the pharmaceutical industry about where our industry is headed and what you can do about it. I'm your host, Samir Gondalia. Thanks for joining us today. My guests today are the dynamic husband-wife duo of Alpesh and Jigisha Gandhi, who jointly run Ami Polymer Private Limited, which is a leading manufacturer of silicone tubing, something we use a lot in the life science industry. Starting with Alpesh and later with Jigisha joining, Ami Polymer is a leading silicone tubing manufacturing company in India, and they played an important role in COVID vaccine manufacturing. Alpesh Gandhi did his engineering in rubber technology from LD College of Engineering, Ahmedabad, India, the same college I did my chemical engineering from. Then he did his MBA from Jamnalal Bajaj Institute of Management Studies. He co-founded Ami Polymer Private Limited in late 90s. Jigisha Gandhi studied commerce at University of Mumbai and is the director of Ami Polymer Private Limited. She has been bestowed with numerous awards by universities, magazines, and government for her achievements in the business world, including being profiled in a book titled Eves Against the Odds, featuring the most powerful women entrepreneurs in India. Here are Alpesh and Jigisha Gandhi sharing their fascinating journey from humble beginnings to running a global company and what they think the future holds for the pharma industry. Hello Alpesh, hello Jigisha, how are you guys doing today?
Yeah, Samir, thank you so much, you're doing good. Thanks for the inviting here.
Yeah, thank you Samir, good evening, and yeah, we are fine. Yeah, let us begin.
I want to begin with something we were talking earlier about, you know, how your team, you guys and Ami Polymer played the part in COVID vaccine manufacturing and distribution in India, and I was fascinated by it. So could you please tell me a little bit about what part you, your team and Ami Polymer played in vaccine distribution manufacturing in India?
Yeah, Samir. So during the COVID, as you know, the situation was very tight here in India. And there's a two company who has developed the vaccine for the Indians. And there is a, one is Serum Institute of India, and second one is Bharat Biotech. So we have been the single suppliers to them. And our tubing and our products, our single assemblies are being used in the all the processes in upstream, downstream, and also in final finish. So we sometimes introduce ourselves to the many of our conferences that we have been, you know, 1.4 billion people are vaccinated, and we contribute to the, you know, that way to the life of the people. So that's what how we introduce ourselves.
And I'm sure that's very, very heartwarming and fulfilling, and that's one of the reasons why we do what we do in life science sector, is that you do something today that may end up benefiting patients that you have never met, and that's, I personally enjoy working in this industry. So let's talk about Ami Polymer. Alpesh, you and I looked it up, you and I, we both went to the same school, college in India, LD College of Engineering in Ahmedabad, Gujarat, India, and I joined in 92 when you graduated. But after a few years, instead of taking the typical route of having a good job, good engineering job, you decided to start Ami Polymer. And I grew up in India, so I know how risky it is. So tell us a little bit about how Ami Polymer came to be, what drove you to start your own business, and why this particular field?
Okay. So Samir, actually after completion of my engineering in 1992, as you know, I have been coming from the normal middle class family in India. So initial struggle is to survive yourself in the industry. So few years I worked for the different companies, almost 6 years I worked for the different companies. And sometimes I say myself as I'm an accidental entrepreneur. So I had to leave the job for some reason in 1998. And then there was no other choice. I was applying for different companies for the second job. But in the meanwhile, I was not getting the job. So I thought to do something, because you cannot remain idle at home. So in the process of getting the job, I have started doing some kind of work. Like, you know, some of the people, those who have a product manufactured ready at their end in warehouses. And they have been waiting for some orders. And I was catalyst between somebody who requires this product. So this is how I was started, you know, giving the services to the industries for the product what they require. But as the time passes, I have been, you know, getting a good customer base and, you know, patronage of the customers, their trust. And steadily it is, then I have ventured into the manufacturing with a very small way. In India, as you know, there is a small little place and you have one or two workers.
Yeah, it's like small cottage industry, like one machine under a shade and two guys.
Yeah, perfect. So initially it was like, you know, I have customers, but then out of 10, 9 orders I used to get it manufactured from some different people. But one product I used to get manufactured at in-house. And as the time passes, then I started out of 10, 3 products are manufactured at my places. And then so on. And finally, then we became a 100% in-house manufacturing the product. That's how it is, the way works in India.
That's the classic Indian manufacturing story. You start by trading, and
yes,
then you start making this, I think it's backward integration. Dhirubhai did the same thing.
Perfect.
He was trading, then he started making, and then he just kept going backwards. So it's like you were trading something,
perfect,
then you started making it. Jigisha, it's not easy to start a manufacturing business in India. I think I could be wrong about statistics, but I think 90% of manufacturing businesses fail in India within first 2 years, one reason or another. What do you remember about those earlier years? I think I'm asking about something that happened 25 years ago, but it must not have been easy for you, you know, as a wife, as a partner with a young family.
So, yeah, Samir, a few things you have rightly said. Okay, yeah, manufacturing in India is, you know, challenging, but yeah, it's a passionate and the dream how we entered into this. And I can say okay, because of our customer, you know, the requirement, what they have asked us, and gradually by feeling we want to go ahead. And this is what how I consider that we get our manufacturing things right way. Entering myself into the business, initially, honestly, I just want to be with my husband. This is what the first thing comes in my mind.
She must really like you, Pish.
Yeah. So perfect. I get the opportunity ki I can be with him for an entire day. And so immediately I took that opportunity. But yeah, in this space gives me a great goal, vision, mission, everything of my life. And gradually I really like, because every day is like an adventurous day. Every day I learn lots of things. I manage the IT, and being the coming from the commercial background, for me the IT is an income tax, but it was an information technology.
Right.
And from there,
Indian IT.
Yeah, and then I implemented ISO 27001 in my company, which again, you know, required entire technical things. But yeah, this all things gives me an immense level of confidence, courage, power. And I truly thankful and grateful to my family and my support team member.
What do you guys remember, or what were the earlier challenges? Because in manufacturing, it can be anything. It can be lack of capital, lack of payment from the customers. It could be technology, machines, right? A law can change. What were the biggest challenges that you guys faced in the earlier years of Ami Polymer? Today, your company has, you know, business in more than 30 countries. You provide your products to Fortune 500 companies on a direct supplier basis. But what were the earlier challenges? And the reason I'm asking is that a lot of our listeners, they are wannabe entrepreneurs, and you know,
right,
hopefully they might get some inspiration from the earlier challenges you face and how you overcome them.
Yeah, so normally happens, initial challenge was the capital. But in our case, yeah, it was an initial challenge. I can say in the first 1 year it was a challenge. But subsequently, the real challenge is to getting the customer on board. So as you know, in pharma industries, there are a lot of procedures for your product to be get validated.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have to be very conscious about the quality, certifications, and a lot of other things.
Right.
So
well, that stuff goes inside our bodies. Right?
Yeah.
So we demand that from pharmaceutical industry
right.
to make something which is safe
yeah.
and effective.
Right. So that's what exactly the initial challenge is, to getting the customer on board. But thanks to the education, what I got it from the LD College of Engineering is I was a very few people in India who has, you know, technical degree in the manufacturing process. So I did my engineering in rubber technology.
Mm-hmm.
Has really helped me to provide a quality product to the customers and getting the customer trust on the... So many of the places where customer was getting the product not clear and, I mean, the way the pharmaceutical company requires.
Right.
And many of the times the products are required to be imported and... It requires a lot of time for them to get the product on board. At that point of time, my technical skill really helped. So initial challenge was the getting the customer on board. And once the customer comes on the board, then you can get repeat business year after year.
Right,
So initial challenge is to getting more and more customers on board. So
yeah, and that's the thing about our pharmaceutical industry is that we are set in our ways.
Yeah.
If you change a supplier, that means you need to qualify the supplier and you don't know about the quality and all that stuff. Break into pharmaceutical industry, particularly for a new supplier, is not easy. I can totally relate to that. What are the latest trends? So, you know, let's jump back to current. Right now, you know, I looked up the updates of Omnipolymer on LinkedIn. And it seems that you guys are doing a lot of traveling these days. You know, you are in Boston this week for a couple of product shows and trade shows. Then you are going to Tehran,
yeah.
Iran. Then you are going to Buenos Aires in Argentina.
Yeah.
What are the common themes you have seen in different countries? Because it's also lots of, it's very cultural how you do business in India versus in, you know, Australia versus America and, you know, so on and so forth. But what are the things you have noticed in life science industry, let's say, which are common everywhere? And what are the differences in different cultures or different parts of the world? It could be cultural related to, or it could be regulatory related.
Right. So if you see, the things has got changed after the COVID, the way business used to happen before COVID and after COVID, there is a tremendous change in the business. So earlier, before COVID, if you look at our company, we are just a manufacturer of silicone tubing.
Mm-hmm.
But during the COVID, as I mentioned before, that a lot of challenges has come to the Indian companies to get the products. So then we have started working into the assemblies, not only the tubings, but tubing with assemblies, with filters, with bags, and with aseptic connectors, making that assemblies, and then you do the gamma radiation and supply to the customers. So in that process, we have learned that there are many more products are required, enhancing the portfolio, and that was we added that successfully during our supplies to the Indian this one. So we come to know that there is a lot of demand of these products in the globally. So that's how we now doing almost 24 exhibition in a year. So
well,
in different,
almost
different,
2 a month.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of traveling.
Yeah. So we
lot of shipping the brochures and
the correct. So we also participated in the countries like Europe, then we can say in the Gulf countries like Dubai, Saudi Arabia. Then this side, if you see, we participate in Russia.
Right.
We do have an exhibition in Bangladesh and then Iran and some number of countries we have been participating. In Korea also we participate almost twice or thrice in a year. So this is how we have been, you know, we find that our products are getting a wide acceptance all over the...
And the wide array of products you mentioned, is that because we are making right now different type of medicines or medical or healthcare therapies which need different type of products, or is it like regulatory driven, or is it innovation? Are new things available which are, you know, cheaper, better, less particulates?
So if you say, look at the, as I said, because when you wanted to make, when you are manufacturer vaccines, you require to have, either you do have a wide space. So the company have two things. Either they have to have more capex or more opex. So when they wanted to have a very dynamism in the changing of the facilities, then there is a started a wide use of the single use assemblies. So when within the one facility, when they want to change, the number of changeovers are more, like they initially manufactured the vaccine for the malaria, then diphtheria, or mm-hmm. or then COVID, flu season. So they can able to change their manufacturing process without having much difficulties by getting into single-use assemblies. So they they don't have to do the lot of capex. So definitely they have to put more single.
Gives them lots more flexibility. Too. You just need a less more mounting. So you just pump and scale.
Yeah, perfect.
And then you just change the tubing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So adding what Alpit shared is key, as you rightly say, Shiki, we are participating in the many exhibitions. What I have observed now, customers need, you know, a one-stop solutions. They need most of the products from the one supplier. So we are also adding our, you know, products in that. So this is how we keep on adding products as the customer demand, ki we get everything from the one person.
Okay.
Right. And again, which I feel so in entire all the exhibition, technology is, you know, a future.
Mm-hmm.
So what now common things which I have observed in most of the exhibition is ki automizations, technology, speed in things which every customer require, yeah, and this is what the future I feel so.
So you mentioned a couple of interesting things, Jigisha. One, technology. So what do you mean by technology? Is it like lighter tubing or better assembly, or is it like semi-auto assembly with some AI, or you know what I mean? Like, so What does technology mean to you?
Definitely what you share, all the aspects of it. But if suppose I consider as per the my product, what they need is they need a technology which give them the little faster result. Mm-hmm. What else we share, their capex and opex part,
right?
So they want to reduce their capex part. So they want some technology which reduce their capex part. And going ahead, they need, you know, again, AI type of the things in their product so that, again, they get the precise data.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
So this is what I feel. So it's my observation.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you are in the trenches, right?
Right.
As we just mentioned, you know, you travel 24 countries a year, which is more than anybody else can, a lot more people can say. The second point you mentioned is that the life science companies, they want to source most of their material from one supplier. That's interesting, because during 2020 and 2021, when we were going through pandemic and supply chain was like the biggest issue in the world, the gut reaction was, or I should say the gut reaction from the life science company was that we should source our material from different companies, so when something like pandemic happens, we are not dependent on only one company, right? So that was their immediate reaction. But it seems that, you know, what you just mentioned is that we are going back to our original cost effective, more efficient, just in time kind of days back, where you source from, you funnel and streamline your source and supply chain. Is it coming back, or am I real off?
Yeah, definitely, Samir. It's partially what I consider is they believe there should be a one vendor because the reliability part is already established. But at the same time, they prefer the backup also.
Right.
Because the dependency, what COVID is, teaches ki dependency on one is always, not advisable.
And cheaper is not always the best option.
Yeah, yeah. So they definitely keep the backup. But at the same time, this is what, ki when they are buying from a single vendor or the supplier, they get the better quality and better service. So this is what I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jigisha, a question for you. As you know, we were talking about earlier, your story, I find fascinating because, we talked about you during the earlier days. You were a housewife, you had your own career ambitions, but you put them aside for, young family. But you stayed connected.
Yeah.
In whatever capacity, few hours a day, or you totally didn't detach. But for last 10 years or so, you have started to do this full-fledged, and you are very highly recognized and awarded woman entrepreneur in India, which is saying something considering we have 1.3 billion people there. Tell us about your story, how did you prioritize over the last 25 years, and how, and what point you decided that, all right, I'm all in, and how it worked with family, business, and all the struggle.
Yeah, fine. Thank you, Samir, for asking this question. The question is, it's a blend of both the things, where as a one side I talk the personal and the professional, and as a mother, it's always a juggling between both the role. So as a mother, when I feel, I missed out my ambition and mission or an inspiration or aspiration of my life. But what really helps is ki only one thought, which I believe is ki let us go ahead. I strongly believe be the change we wish to see in the world, right? So this is what I strongly believe, and change is the only constant. So I keep on, every day I feel ki let me add something in my life, and my family, my kids, my team members all support me a lot.
Just for our listeners, how old are your kids? And
yeah, right now my kids are 20 and 21 year old. So I have a boy and girl. Both are, having their own very successful career.
They both are in their college.
Yeah, both are in their final years, and at the same time they are working, and both have the very good career. Definitely, my loving, caring husband helped me a lot to, wherever I am right now. But yeah, being a woman, we need entire family support. So I have a wonderful family, wonderful kids. That one, I hear in one training is the coping mechanism,
right?
So that coping mechanism helped me a lot. Ki if I'm not in home, so I create that. Ki is it my any family member? Somebody is there to look after my kids. Okay, and if I have some work at home, so then I make sure ki my team member is there to manage that work in my office. So really, team is very, very important, and they help us to grow and to grow more in our life.
Right, I applaud that not for all the reasons we hear about in news and social media, but we do need it. Does help to have a woman leader in businesses, because women can understand women's need better. That goes without saying. It's so obvious, but you don't see that. And I have a question for that, is that you are woman executive, co-running global company that supplies to life science industry, right? And you are also doing something for women's health,
right?
So would you like to please share a little bit about that?
Yeah.
And I think listeners will understand why I say that, we need women leaders in life science industry.
Yeah, fine. So yes, thank you once again, Samir, for, asking that question, because it's now my future, my mission of my life. So yes, I'm right now actively working on the menstrual health and hygiene of the women, which is very, very taboo topic. And it's in developed country as well, because when I say menstrual cup in USA also, I have observed that among 10, two people are not much more aware about it. They are not having the right information about it.
Yeah, that's actually, when you think about it, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, 50% population in the world are women. You'd think that, you know, there'd be more awareness about it. But please go ahead, Adam.
So, yes. So, what I observe that this topic, menstrual health and hygiene, people have not the right information, not the correct information, not having the enough information. And that will lead to their health and that impact to their life, society life, community life, and life of nation as a whole.
Right.
So we and my team has taken, and I'm so blessed that I have get that opportunity to, you know, work on that project, and we jointly actively work on that. We have taken a mission till 2025. We want to make a difference in 10 lakhs women life.
That's really applaudable. We applaud your mission.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. And that's why I say that some of those things, right? So you have all the right combination, you have all the ingredients for a recipe, right? You have resources, you have know about, you know, technology, you have backing of a supporting team, and you command this big company that works with polymers that can do something for women's health, right? So that is, that's fantastic. What is the trend, and that is my favorite topic to discuss with, you know, we talk about your story, where you come from and all that. That's past. Talk a little bit about present. Future, right? Where do you think our industry is headed? That's my favorite topic when I, you know, meet with any leader. Like, hey, what do you think we are very heading? What kind of therapies we'll have? What do you see in your area? When someone says, you know, that, okay, silicone tubing, what can you do with that? You know, it's just silicone, you mold it, you make the tubing. But I have seen marked improvement in how tubings are made in my career. You know, in the last 15, 20 years, silicone tubing used to be very rigid, low pressure rating, low temperature rating, you know, and all that. But now the tubings are much better. Where do you think, like your wildest dream, what do you think will happen in that space? Silicone tubing, single use, where do you see technology-wise, efficiency-wise, cost-wise, accessibility-wise in, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, so if you look at the single-use assemblies and that kind of application, there was earlier people used to use a silicone tubing with plastic connectors, and over there you put a tie rods and all the such things. But now technology has come where silicone tubings are over-molded. So another application, it's a new technology where with the fluid which passes through, it doesn't have to have any plastic connector, it doesn't have any tire or so. So it's a seamless assemblies. So there is a new innovation in the silicone tubing. Now what we've been doing, tubing with silicone manifolds and all. So you don't have so many MOCs and then risk to leakage and other things. So everything has been made in a over-molded assembly. That is going to be a future in the time to come.
Okay.
And as you know, Samir, that's more and more earlier tubing are used and then reused and used and reused. But now it is a single use. So you're using and throw it. So the consumption of silicone rubber, silicone tubing has been almost like earlier people used to use it for 10 times and then throw it off, or 25 times. But now single use. So the usage of the silicone tubing has been gone very high. Same thing, it finds application in many of the food application, like coffee vending machine, if you see.
Right.
Silicone tubing
right.
are being used there. Even water vending machine, you find the silicone tubing there. So many more applications started coming up because silicone is a material which is, you know, biocompatible and doesn't impart any kind of extractable leachables to inside of the product.
Right.
So there are a lot of application which is keep on coming. If you see now, earlier you hardly see any silicone in the kitchen, but now if you see in the kitchen, you find n number of applications of silicone rubber in the kitchen equipments, in making in kitchen attend sales and other things.
Right, yeah, we don't really realize this, but you know, like we have instant pot, it's got that silicone tubing, it's like pressure cooker, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You notice it, but anything that you have, like new dishwashers,
yeah,
that silicone tube around it, because the water is hot now in dishwashers.
Correct, correct.
So yes, sorry, Samir, adding to what Alpesh has shared, ki you have asked ki what is the wild thing which comes in your mind for the silicone. So yeah, in one of my show, one of my training I have attended, and they are, you know, talking about the brain catheter, something like that, for the silicone part. So yeah, I feel so ki human implants are again, you know, which is where the silicone can be play a major role.
So about talking about this silicone thing, so a couple of questions. Silicone tubing, so now we have this single-use assembly, right? So you use it once, you have to throw them. Is it cost-effective, or, and if it is, what do you compare against? Like, do you compare against steel to make the case? Because when you think about it, it doesn't sound cost-effective, but it is becoming very popular platform. So there must be benefit to it. You don't have to clean it. You don't have to autoclave it. You don't have to steam it, right? So maybe the cost is not just the cost of tubing. Cost is... So how is it cost-effective? I'm sure that's one of the first thing a new customer would ask. Like, how is that cost-effective? They have to buy one every day.
So it is a basically cost effective as against it to get it cleaned and, you know, to make it a aseptic connection. So the
but
cost of
saves in like cleaning and steaming.
Yeah,
and all
so
of
a lot of documentation is required,
right,
and the risk of contamination.
You need those equipment.
Correct. And the risk of contamination is completely avoided when it go for a single use.
And you guys do gamma radiation.
And correct. So the risk, if any particular product which is to avoid any kind of cross-contamination, single assemblies in a way it is a cost effective, because to maintain such a documentation for washing cycles and other things, it's very expensive.
Right.
So single, and again, what happens as your production goes up,
mm-hmm.
your cost comes down.
That's right. Yes,
so that's how it also, you know,
you can spread the capital cost.
Right.
So let's talk about you guys. We talked about business and all these things. What are your favorite books? Which books do you keep going back to? Or are there any particular books that influence you or, you know, keep it on your bedside?
Yeah. So actually, my favorite motivational books are really a good, which we both are fond of. But one thing I was forget to mention, you know, Jigisha was... name was appeared in top 50 powerful women in India.
Okay.
So she was featured in the same book, that is book
she was, okay, we are talking about books, I think that's a nice idea. So she was featured in a book, what's the title of the book?
The Use Against Odd, if I'm right. And she was sharing the platform with the sugar cosmetic,
Vinita Singh. Yeah.
So there is a 50 powerful women entrepreneurs in India. And she was sharing her platform.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That is amazing, right? So you were featured in a book in a country with 1.3 billion people, 50 most powerful women entrepreneurs, Eves Against Odds. Okay, I'll include that in the odds. So you can say that that's one of your favorite books, Alpesh.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
your wife was featured in a book.
Right.
That's more than most of us can say about you know, us or our spouses. How about you? What are kind of books or movies or music, you know, that that you like, you keep going back to?
Yeah. So, yes, Samir, actually my reading habit, I am having that habit, but I just, the entire credit will give to my husband, because of him that my habit get, you know, more and more improved. And he whenever he travel, he used to bring lots of books.
Yes.
Sudha Murthy is one of my favorite author. I read the entire book, and I still remember one day when he traveled to Ahmedabad, and from the airport he brought the 5, because he knows I love Sudha Murthy, and you know, he brought
such
the so he gifted me that book, and by, you know, reading that book, I get lots of inspiration, and many books, all the Personally, I like non-frictional book, which gives the real story. So it's my overall, my taste is I like non-frictional and the motivational and inspirational book, like many. I can't, name it. But yeah, this is what we keep on reading book. And in my one training, I heard that all the successful people have a one common habit. They read the book.
Right.
Yeah. And the average ratio, what they read is around 50 book in a year, means one book in a week.
Yeah. One.
Yeah. And then I want to touch that. But my is right now, I'm not even touch the 50% of that.
Right.
But it's my dream. I want to touch that ratio. Okay, 50 books in a year.
Right. Yeah, books have a lot of power. I love books. So,
there's a famous saying, like, those who do not read the books have no advantage over those who cannot.
Right. So I think Mark Twain said that.
I don't remember.
He said, yeah, Mark Twain said a lot of wise things. So if you hear something that is wise and funny, you can attribute to Mark Twain, and you'll most likely be right. But I think Mark Twain said that, those who don't read have no advantage over those who cannot. That is true. Alpesh, Jigisha, I really want to thank you for your time. This has been a great conversation. Before we say goodbyes, where can people find you on internet? Do you prefer, your website, contact us, LinkedIn? Where can people connect with you?
LinkedIn is a platform. So LinkedIn, we normally we are available there, so can reach it out.
Yeah,
to
I get and, your. Yeah, I follow your company and
So yes, the LinkedIn is more preferable platform where we can connect. And apart from that, the email, the jigisha@amipolymer.com. Jigisha, jigisha@mycompanyname is amipolymer.com. And amipolymer.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a preference.
Right. So, all right, guys. So if you want to get in touch with Alpesh and Jigisha, you can reach out on LinkedIn or email her at jigisha@amipolymer.com. And Alpesh is very active on LinkedIn. I know that. So I get his feedback. Before we say goodbye to our listener, do you have any last ask questions or request or any words, parting words to our listeners?
I think you ended better, Jigish.
Fine. So I just want to share with all my audience, which especially being a woman, I want to address my all the women's team member or the all the women's ki from the journey from housewife to the being a there in the top 50 book is not the simple, but it is possible. So if I can, you all can, and I'm always available for you. Any of the support, any of the queries, you can anytime ping me. And please start some action in your day that will give you the entire goal. Thank you so much Samir for
Yes, thank you, Jigisha. That was beautiful, actually. Sometimes we just need to see someone do something to have the belief. So thank you very much for those inspirational and kind words. Thanks, Alpesh. Thanks, Jigisha, for your time and generosity and sharing all your all this information and knowledge with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Samir.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Samir. Take care. Bye.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and let others know. Word of mouth is our oxygen. Visit www.ispeboston.org for the comprehensive show notes from today's episode and also find out more ways to associate with us. Do let us know your thoughts in the comment section, and if there is someone you'd like to see as a guest on this show, thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you next time.